It's time to take the quiz.
5 questions, 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week.
Take the quiz every weekday at thequiz.fox and then listen to the quiz podcast to find out how you did.
Play, share, and of course, listen to the quiz at thequiz.fox.
Live from everywhere USA, it's Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
Oh, yes, it sure is. Here we go. Coming to you live from the greatest country in the world, broadcasting from the tippy top of the world-famous Fox News headquarters in New York City. It is Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla, a man who did not pull the fire alarm in the Capitol over the weekend. Democratic Representative Jamal Bowman did, and claims with a straight face that it was all by accident.
You've got to be kidding me. I can't believe what I just saw.
I mean, come on, man. It's a messy day on the show. We're going to clean it up with some help from Battling Bill Hemmer, co-host of America's Newsroom, a guy who is, rooting hard for the Cincinnati Bengals right now. They took the field again yesterday, and long story short, not the best. 888-788-9910. If you want to help boost Hemmer's spirits, if you want to help me get through today's show, it is going to be a food fight of a day in politics. I always, derisively refer to this show as, top shelf radio in a bottom feeding political world. Well, if ever there was proof that we have entered that world, it is today.
We have people in Washington that don't know what they're doing.
What a mess. And that, of course, that Trump sound clip parallels with real Trump sound being generated at a courthouse in lower Manhattan right now, as Trump is on trial for, in civil court anyway, for fraud. We will continue to update on that as well. But 888-788-9910 if you want to be a part of the action. Also the number if you don't want to be a part of the action. You just want to call me up and call me names, great. Maybe you'll save me some money. I usually pay for that on Craigslist at the end of the week. So read me the riot act if you are so inclined, but whatever you do, be a Republican, be a Democrat, just do not be a... There it is. Happy Monday, everybody. If you're watching Failavision, I will be on Gutfeld tonight with the King of Late Night, Greg Gutfeld, in the 10 p.m. hour. If you want to check that out, it's live ammo tonight because the writer's strike is over. And we should be going head-to-head in the ratings with the Colberts of the world, the Jimmy Fallons of the world. All the activists masquerading as comedians will bring their partisan hackery back to your TV set tonight. So check it out if you're so inclined. Tune on in to Stephen Colbert.
No, God! No, God, please, no! No! No!
Well, here's a comedy option I got to get out there. And you know how I say I tell you things on this show before you hear them anywhere else in the world, before you hear them on TV, before you hear them on social media? This is confirmed. This is announced. Fox just signed off on it. My schedule is clear. If you're listening on KKFT in Reno or KSUE out there in California, okay, it is confirmed. Saturday night, December the 2nd, I will be returning to the Carson Nugget. Diamond Dave Landau was there over the weekend. He announced on stage Saturday night that I was returning to the Nugget on December the 2nd. I had not given him permission to do so.
That's just how white folks will do you.
But that is how he did me, and we have, in fact, gotten the day cleared. I am thrilled to get back out there. So if you're anywhere in Carson, if you're in Virginia City, if you're hanging out in Reno, at the Paradise Club, whatever the hell you guys are into, okay, the point is I will be there Saturday night, December the 2nd. It is going to be a bender. I'm flying in the middle of the afternoon doing 3 shows at the Nugget. I will be back out the door Sunday morning at 6 a.m. So in the words of the great Bob Seger, we've got tonight, who needs tomorrow, that kind of thing. Get your tickets at the Nugget right now. Okay, in the meantime, we will get back to my day job as a radio host, shall we? So some of you hear me say a lot on this show. And it's been said quite a bit since I took this show over on March the 9th, 2020, is you got to be a mutter if you want to make it in horse racing in this day and age. If you want to make it in radio, it's just the same. You know, In horse racing, the adage mutter means you got to be able to run on a sloppy track because you never know what the conditions are going to be on a given day. But the ability to run when it's sloppy gives you a huge advantage over the other horses who have a more one-dimensional approach to racing. When it comes to covering politics, when it comes to covering the news of the day, you really got to be a mutter because you're never running on a clean track anymore. Like as we get on the air right now, okay, we had just a straight up, it was, you know, they avoided a shutdown on Saturday, but it was a congressional clown show. And as that's going on, okay, you got Trump on trial for inflating his value of his real estate downtown. Joe Biden gives his ridiculous interview yesterday, you know, about the state of the country. And
I keep forgetting I'm president.
But the point is, it was a mess. We've got all this 2024 food fighting going back and forth. Matt Gaetz is trying to oust Speaker McCarthy. We're going to get to all of this with Hemmer. But the point is, it's just a mess out there in Washington right now.
That's true. That is true.
Okay, it's a mess everywhere you look. Really quickly, just to kind of give you an overview, I might normally talk with a take on one issue out of the gate. Like, I think this is the most important thing facing us in a given news cycle. I think this is where we should focus our energy. Today, it's a grab bag. You know, basically, it's a potluck dinner, and everyone has brought garbage to the dinner that we happen to be hosting today.
What the hell is the world coming to?
I do not know. But Jamal Bowman, over the weekend, Representative Bowman, was... apparently, I guess the best way I could assess this for you is there's a huge, you know, deadline. They're trying to avert a shutdown, get a bill passed. He's, you know, decides he's going to stall the House vote as they're corralling votes and support. And the Democrats are trying to pass their own bill in the Senate, which would put them ahead of the House. Jamal Bowman goes out and pulls the fire alarm.
Well, that's the dumbest thing I ever heard of.
What the dumbest thing you ever heard of is not that he did that. Although, to be clear, if we're judging him by January 6th standards,
he should be behind bars.
Every Republican would tell you that. That's what Twitter descended into over the weekend. Well, if pulling the alarm to obstruct government business, okay, it's the same statute that hundreds of people were charged with on January 6th, technically speaking. Bowman broke that rule.
When you're right, you're right, and you're right.
But he's trying to, with a straight face, he's trying to claim what? Well, I didn't understand that the alarm was going to go off. The only problem there is they have photos of him pulling a fire alarm, okay? A fire alarm, not a door, okay? Because the Democrats have posted signs. Oh, look at these signs that are on some of the doors in the Capitol. This is what he was confused by.
You are so full of sh**.
Because the picture shows him clearly pulling an alarm marked fire.
Oh, wow!
Yesterday, the Democrats in the House, of course, trotted out AOC to make the case.
AOC is a dope.
To Jake Tapper's credit, he stood his ground on the fact that Bowman's explanation doesn't make sense. Listen to this, clip 20.
He says it was an accident. He thought pulling the alarm would open a door based on the fact that the doors to his right there were locked, and there was a sign that he said he was, I think someone said it was confusing. I'll be honest, it doesn't really make sense to me, his explanation. Have you talked to him? What's going on there?
I mean, listen, I think if you actually do see some of the photos of the signs, I think there's something to be said about the government's about to shut down. There's a vote clock that's going down. The exits that are normally open in that building were suddenly closed.
He, so you pulled a fire alarm?
So.
Oh, shut up, woman.
There's a vote clock that's going down. He wanted to get out the door, so he pulled the fire alarm, is what she says.
What would you do with a brain if you had one?
Okay. Jamal Bowman is in Congress. Is he dopey? Yes. Is he a shameless race-baiting buffoon? Yes. Okay, but he knows the difference between a fire alarm and a door handle, mainly because the fire alarm he's caught pulling is not on the door, it's on the wall.
Oh, wow!
Okay, but here she is trying to jump in with the rest of her explanation, clip 21.
And so the idea that there is somehow any kind of equivalence to someone who is actively trying to clear up a situation that he himself admits he's embarrassed, he released a statement last night, he apologized, and they are protecting someone who has not only committed wire fraud, not only defrauded veterans, not only lied to congressional investigators, but is openly gloating about it, is absolutely humiliating to the Republican caucus.
What is she even talking about now? I don't know. Okay, but understand, Jamal Bowman, oh, he's embarrassed. He was confused. Would you stop it? You're insulting our intelligence. There are photos of him pulling the fire alarm on the wall. We all know what a fire alarm is, okay? But anyway, here's the rest of her explanation, clip 22.
They are protecting someone who has lied to the American people, lied to the United States House of Representatives, lied to congressional investigators, but they're filing a motion to expel a member who, in a moment of panic, was trying to escape a vestibule. Give me a break.
When she try, I just to be clear, I don't know the answer to this. If you want to call in, you can tell me. Is she saying that about Trump? Who is she saying that about? She's saying that about George Santos. So she's saying they're protecting George Santos. He lied to the American people. Folks, if lying to the American people is a crime, Joe Biden is out on his ass right now.
Tell him like it is.
I mean, George Santos, I didn't actually know that that was the explanation. So what she's saying is you can't expel Bowman because you're protecting George Santos. Well, the game changed when it comes to lying, okay? We have a president that is openly saying when he was leaving the Senate, he talked Strom Thurmond into supporting the Voter Rights Act. Except there's one small problem. Biden left the Senate in 2009. Strom Thurmond died in 2003. And the Voting Rights Act was passed in 1965.
We have a president that is clearly not all there.
If you talk about all the things that have been lied about, I mean, George Santos is a mom and pop compared to Joe Biden, who said Hunter Biden's laptop was Russian disinformation.
Wrong.
Never talked to his business partners.
Wrong.
I mean, come on, man. And again, I don't want to get into a sideshow about this. But back to my earlier point about how if you want to work in talk radio, you've got to be a mutter because it always winds up being a sloppy track for you to run on as a horse. But the big reason why is because of the people in Congress. This is embarrassment. Congress has an approval rating in the single digits right now. Okay, we pay their salaries. We send them to Washington, and they are like clowns, just embarrassing. I don't think Jamal Bowman's going to jail, but did he interfere, okay, with an official government proceeding the way people did on January 6th? Yeah, okay. I understand they ran into the Capitol. It was a lot more violent. It was different. It was everything in between, okay? But that doesn't change the statute he violated. I'm not saying he's going to go to jail, but the fact that we're even having this conversation is so indicative of our representatives in Washington not taking their job seriously. Everybody wants to be an influencer now. So for Bowman, that was his good trouble moment. I'm going to go out, pull the alarm. I'll show these white supremacist, patriarchy, transphobic. They're killing us because of climate change. I stood up to the man, broke the law, and pulled a fire alarm. And the Democrats are like, yeah, hero. And the Republicans are in their own food fight. Gates wants to get rid of McCarthy. Okay, Trump is on his own trial, which, to be honest with you, is being overzealously targeted by Manhattan prosecutors. But at the same time, Trump opined at his rally on Friday that it's time to start shooting shoplifters. Now, you might agree with that, as his audience did. They applauded. But it's hard in one breath to say I'm being overzealously prosecuted and then in the next breath say shoot anybody who steals an iPad. You dig? It's a mess. Okay, I'm not here to point fingers. I'm just telling you that the week we're about to have in talk radio, okay, nail those horseshoes on extra tight because it is a sloppy track. And it's a sloppy track because of clowns in Congress like the AOCs of the world, like the Jamal Bowmans of the world. Okay, for AOC to get out there with a straight face, with a straight face. Oh, it was an accident, a Republican, George Santos, Trump, the wage gap, whatever you want to tell me. Women are oppressed in this country. It's clownery. You see, AOC is an Instagram influencer. Congress happens to be her side hustle. They're all trying to race to the top of Mount Clickmore. Get me the most tits. Get me the most likes. Look at me go. But you understand if, like, this is the metric which with how we define success in Washington, there's a reason the country keeps getting defeated. Congress, you're at 9% in the polls. Take off the red nose and the big shoes and stop hitting each other with buckets of confetti, okay? Because you're all a bunch of clowns, but it's happening, this circus, to the detriment of the paying customer, which in this instance is the taxpayer.
Her Green New Deal really blows. Her knowledge is a fountain, the driest fountain. So dumb, and everybody knows. AOC, whoa, AOC, that dumb woman though, she's all over TV.
You're listening to Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
Pull up a chair and join me, Rachel Campos Duffy.
And me, former U.S. Congressman Sean Duffy, as we share our perspective on the discussions happening at kitchen tables across America.
Download From the Kitchen Table, the Duffys, at foxnewspodcasts.com or wherever you download podcasts.
This was roll call vote number 513. That means it's the 513th time this Congress has voted on the floor of the House. Are you telling me that the first time you didn't know how to get to the floor of the House for the 513th time they had to call a vote, you suddenly had to pull the alarm? Oh, how convenient your excuse is.
Hey, hey, hey. That is Jason Chaffetz telling you the truth. Okay. When you look at what's going on in Congress... Oh, you don't understand. Guy was lost trying to get across. I mean,
you ought to be ashamed of yourself.
If you voted 513 times, okay, and you suddenly get called and you don't know where to go.
You were lying your ass off.
Dude, it's embarrassing. Okay, it's just not reality. Okay, and again. We've accepted this level of behavior. The whole point of me doing the show the way I do, the whole point of me trying to get people to be like, yo, we're all getting screwed, is because we're all getting screwed. You dig? And the fact that people on the left will defend what Bowman did. You know, there are people on the right that will defend what some of the clownery coming out of McCarthy and Gates right now. It's not acceptable. Okay? We pay their salaries, and they're underperforming. So I'm telling you, you know, the old vote the bums out. Here's a newsflash, guys. We've got a lot of bums in both parties. And I know it's convenient to just focus on the one party you're not a member of. But the truth is, if you look around, okay, they all suck right now as I'm speaking to you.
Thanks, big government weenuses.
There it is, Fox Across America, your main man, Jimmy Failla, reachable to you, the listener, at 888-788-9910 is the red phone. If you want to be a part of the show, Also, the phone number, if you don't want to be a part of the show and you just want to tell us what. You know, I would never be on a program such as this, Mr. Fela. If you're just joining us, so much of the conversation is centered around Representative Bowman pulling a fire alarm in Congress. This next guest knows an awful lot about sounding the alarm because he's a Bengals fan. Co-host of America's Newsroom. Not in his Joe Burrow gold chain today, oddly enough, woo! But it'll be back on before long. Bill Hemmer is here and the crowd goes wild.
Hey, buddy, hey, how you doing?
I'm fine. And you
please, wanna, please have a seat, folks.
I'll give you a second. They're worked up, as you would imagine. Hemmer, he crowd surfs to the studio on a normal day, but today...
I thought I was spot on time today.
You're fine.
I'm sorry about
radio
that.
Radio clock. No, you're
can
here.
Can I add something to your initial comment about... the Burrowless Bengals. It's hard to win in the NFL when your quarterback can't run.
It's tough. I got to be
honest. So, let's just start there.
Not good.
I have my own personal policy. Mm-hmm. I've lived away from home forever, and I'm a huge Bengal fan. And, Jimmy, I just found myself in the dark corner of a bar on a bright sunny Sunday afternoon, time and time again, seeing my team lose. Mm-hmm. So about 7-8 years ago, before the big turnaround, I said, I will not commit my time on a sunny Sunday afternoon sitting in the dark corner of a bar begging a bartender to put on my game in the corner with no audio unless they're at 500 or better.
Okay, fair.
So I was golfing yesterday, and I did not have to sit through it.
Ever taken back his life. He took it
trying,
back.
Trying.
I respect that. Well, listen, man. The good news for you is the division's soft. The Steelers QB, you know, Kenny Pickett's out. He's not
division
any good when he's
soft.
In.
They got the Baltimore Ravens.
Well, I'll give you that.
The Cleveland Browns.
I'll give you
Sean
that. But
Watson,
what I'm saying is Watson
back.
Was hurt. They got beat up yesterday.
That division is smoking
listen,
hot good.
I tried to hand you a silver lining, and you put it down the mail chute, and it's out on the sidewalk. Okay. I was trying to pick you up, little chicken soup.
It's the same team that they had last year, essentially.
Dude, this same 3 weeks ago, team. We were sitting in this studio, we're going all the way speech. 3 weeks later, I didn't even watch the game. So I feel like I owe you an emotional life raft. Do you dig? I care, Hemmer.
I appreciate that.
That's all I'm trying to say.
Are you Jets or Giants?
Listen, I grew up in a Raider house, but
right.
I ultimately in my early 20s evolved into whoever covers the spread. I know you're not a gambler, but the first jersey my dad brought me was a +10. It was a +10 jersey. I think it was a +10.5 jersey.
Oh, my God.
Different houses, Hemmer.
Jets got screwed, by the way.
Yeah, the refs.
Yeah, they got screwed.
So, I mean, my assumption here is, you know, they need Taylor Swift's side winning the game.
What's your theory on her, by the way? Go ahead.
Well, listen, great entertainer, great for the league in terms of ticket sales and fan interest. But it could backfire just the same if this relationship doesn't work out.
Oh, Jimmy, who cares about the relationship?
I know.
That's not what this is about
at all.
Yeah,
I know.
What?
We're selling jerseys. We're bumping it out.
The NFL wins that way, okay?
Yep.
But she's going to win because she's got a movie coming out.
Yep, big time.
And she wants to have a huge opening weekend.
Yeah.
And she's going to get it.
Oh, no question. Because you know what's interesting that you say that, and this is why he's the host of America's Newsroom, okay? It's the other metric. A lot of people say, the NFL benefits so much from all this Taylor Swift heat. And no, undoubtedly they do. But Taylor Swift is also pulling in a new demo.
Big time.
No one ever talks
big
about
time.
That, though.
Not
ever.
Just that, but she's out there every day of every week leading up to the big launch.
Yeah.
And it's genius.
It is genius.
It's a viral campaign. She spends zero money, and everybody's talking about her every hour.
So Hemmer says once the ticket sales are counted, she's going to 86 number 87.
87 may 86 her. I don't know if any – is there something there? Do you feel it?
I said last week on your show, celebrity relationships are carnival goldfish. We get so excited about them when you take them home in that plastic bag filled with water.
Yeah.
But you usually see them floating in your toilet within 3 days, and mommy has to give you that speech about he swam off to be with his family.
Yeah.
I had to give one of those speeches once, and instead I didn't do it. You know what I did? I looked my son in the face. I said, these fish are crap. They prey on kids like you. Don't waste my $5. I was operating on a taxi salary, okay?
Right.
If this was 5 years later, I would have maybe gave him the story.
Uh-huh.
The fish wanted to see his family. Goldie swam off. No, I looked him right in the face. I said, Lincoln, don't be stupid. You don't have a margin for error in this world. You gotta defense wins championships.
We gave my niece a goldfish for Christmas. She was five.
Mm-hmm.
She's now 32. And immediately everybody said, what are we going to call it?
Yeah.
It's one of the kids said, floater. I said, I'll be dead by dawn. Fish lived 15 years.
Stop it!
In his own little tub.
And just kept going.
Yeah, just kept going. Floater. Lived for 15 years.
Let me hold on here, because now we're cracking a case here. This could become a Fox Nation documentary. I mean this, okay? Was Floater an Ohio-based fish?
Yes.
Yo,
1,000%.
Hold on. Jenny's dad, Dave, in Wapakoneta, Ohio, had two carnival fish. He kept increasing the size of the tank, and they lived 15 years.
Uh-huh.
Butch lived 15 years and was, he was a massive. He was a formidable fish.
Uh-huh.
Till, of course, one day he became Floater.
Right.
But about, if you bet the over in Vegas, you made a lot of money.
Yeah.
The over was a day and a half, and Butch battled on. See, this hope abounds, Hemmer.
Yeah.
Hope abounds for your goldfish of a team is all I'm trying to say. Well, really quick, Bill Hemmer's
great,
in
you
studio.
Stuck the landing.
Hope abounds. You see there?
Beautiful.
Let's talk about the big TV moment that occurred on our network last week, which was, of course, me hosting Fox News Saturday night. I think it's all anyone's talking about. Let's be clear.
I stayed home for
it. Perino said to you the morning after she didn't think there was a breakout moment. I agree. That was my takeaway. Having interviewed most of the candidates, I thought people had good nights.
Yeah.
I thought it was a better moment for the party than a lot of the crosstalk would allow it to seem like, because it was substantive.
Uh-huh.
So I thought, in that regard, I thought it was good. Okay, but this is my question. It has nothing to do with the debate itself, but so much DeSantis. Did you happen to see DeSantis on with Bill Maher or any of those clips?
I did not, but okay. I heard it was. It was interesting.
It was interesting, yeah. And he stood his ground on certain things. Okay, but the question I had for you is, because we had DeSantis on the show. Oh, he was funny. We talked about Rocky movies and baseball, and he was funny. So
you led him, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
But even so, he was funny. He had chops. The question I have, and it's not even DeSantis specific, but you've been around enough of these campaigns that you might have some insight here, is do consultants sometimes try to shape a candidate in a way that's not naturally who they are? Can someone be overcoached?
I think in this case, I don't think there's a lot of consulting here.
Really?
Yeah,
okay.
I think he and his wife are the team.
Wow.
That's what I believe.
Okay, fair.
Could be wrong.
Uh-huh. It's tricky. But
Are you ready?
Yeah, give it to me.
Are you ready? So he came to Fox on 9/11 of this year.
Mm-hmm.
And met with a bunch of us, telling us where he thinks his campaign's going to go.
Mm-hmm.
It's very interesting.
Yeah.
All off the record. Mm-hmm. I won't share anything with you. Sorry.
Thanks for that.
That sounded...
Bill Hemmer's on the show. He's killing his mic when he so chooses.
That was in poor taste.
No, I loved it. That was great.
So here's a guy who's been in Anbar province in Iraq.
Mm-hmm.
He's been Fallujah.
Mm-hmm.
He's been a Gitmo.
Yeah.
9/11 inspired him. 9/11 changed his life. I thought for sure that was the lead of the meeting.
Yeah.
I'm in New York.
Yeah.
I'm at Fox.
Mm-hmm.
It's September 11th. And it wasn't. I was like, wow. Went up to Matt the Words. I said, it is what it is.
Yeah.
I felt in that debate, he was quite effective.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you when he was effective.
Mm-hmm.
10:02 East Coast time on the issue of education.
Yeah.
Boom. Knocked it out of the park.
Yeah, sure did.
Came on my program the next day. We were tap dancing in and out of... some hearing on the Hill,
mm-hmm.
and he came on for 12 minutes, and I thought he was sharp.
Yep.
Ron DeSantis will never say, never happens.
No, he's got it down.
He just barrels right through his answers, and he's got a lot of policy ideas to talk about. His campaign hinges on getting to all 99 counties in Iowa.
Yep.
And he's going to do it within a month.
Yeah.
He's going to make a big deal out of it. It's going to be a big splash, I would guess.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think any other candidate's going to do that.
No.
And I think it leaves an impression of the folks who will caucus in Iowa.
100%. And I think for him, it's kind of shaping up like a do-or-die state. I don't know that it's do-or-die, but I know the stakes are awfully high.
What did you think of the Maher? You brought that up.
Well, I liked the pushback specifically. So he...
funny or was it just intellectually challenging?
He had a good funny moment. But he's at his best when someone comes at him, okay? When they come at him with something he feels confident in refuting. So Maher goes, I love what you did on COVID, but you supported election deniers. And before Maher could, get his dig in, DeSantis made a point to say, well, you and all your friends in Hollywood actually scripted commercials telling the Electoral College not to support the will of the people in 2016. And he got an applause break from Maher's audience. which again is very effective counterpunch.
He did his homework.
Yeah, no two ways about it. And the thing about DeSantis and this election as a whole that's so fascinating to me. So I consider DeSantis a guy who you could elect him president tomorrow. I could go to bed and I feel like I'd have confidence in the office. I think the challenge is no one's running for president anymore. It's all class president. The metric to get the gig is different now.
My feeling about Simi Valley was the same feeling I had about Milwaukee a month prior. The room, there was something missing in the room, and what's missing is the fact that everybody's shooting for the silver medal.
Yeah.
Now, could that change in mid-January? It might. I just laid out a scenario where it might if DeSantis is to come in the first place in Iowa. But right now, I don't see it.
I know.
Now, there was a Wall Street Journal poll that came out 3 weeks ago, and they asked, among Republicans only, I believe the number was 46, 46 of those who believe if Trump were to get a conviction, they would no longer support him. I don't know if that's necessarily the case.
Uh-huh.
I watched him walk down that hallway live on TV today.
Uh-huh.
And make that 5-minute statement.
Yeah.
And I thought, boy, the people who love him are going to be really ticked off right now.
Yeah.
Really ticked off.
Mm-hmm.
And the people who hate him are going to be doing backflips.
Yeah.
But I think after watching that today, time and time again, the impression's going to be made, Jimmy. And that's, you know, 51% of people who vote or caucus are going to think that this guy's getting legally persecuted.
Yeah, that's part of the problem. It's they're almost helping him. And that's what's fascinating about the whole thing is that I don't think it's a referendum on Trump. You know, people on the left go, oh, look at this guy. He's, you know, being charged with everything under the sun. But people on the right, and I think a lot of people slightly left of center, also don't see the integrity in the DOJ the way they used to. So as much as it's a referendum on him, I think it's a referendum on where we've gone as a country.
Unfortunately, right?
Sad. I don't like saying that.
Right,
that sucks.
Correct.
That's
Absolutely.
Not fun. It's not fun.
I agree with
There was a time when anyone got indicted for anything. You got a speech within 30 minutes about spending more time with a family, and they went home and bought one of those Carnival Goldfish, and that was that. But you don't have to give that speech anymore because no one believes in the Justice Department. So it's frustrating. It's hard to watch. But I agree with you that we're in a very unique moment in this election. Because on the other side of the aisle, we've got a guy who is so committed to not running in Gavin Newsom that he's getting on every network he can to tell them he's not running.
In fact,
he's debating the other governor from Florida, just so everyone knows how adamant he is.
Yeah, that's right. Which should be pretty good, actually.
I'm thrilled.
Should be pretty good.
I'm thrilled for that. Yeah. That one's going to be excited. I think it's going to be really exciting. I think for Newsom, there's no way you could tell me he's not undermining Joe Biden by doing that. Mm-hmm. Would you not say?
Well, I mean, he's going to show that he's entirely competent.
Yes.
And if you watched his give and take with Hannity a couple months back, he was good.
Oh, he's got game.
Right?
In the moment? No, he has real chops.
Yeah.
I've watched it.
So can I ask you this? As a boxing fan and a gambler, I'm two for two on that, right?
Yes,
describing
you.
Like, what's the pre-bout card read on DeSantis v. Newsom?
Do you know what I actually...
Undercard fight.
Do you know what I actually think is going to happen? I'm declaring it's going to be a split decision, and this is why I say this. It's what I think. I think DeSantis side is 100% going to think he won because he's going to stand his ground on things like COVID and the fact that everybody is migrating to Florida. One of his familiar refrains is, growing up in Florida, I never knew what a California license plate looked like till I became governor. Right. It's a good line, and it's probably true. You probably didn't see him. So he is winning in terms of substance, but he is getting in the ring with a guy it's hard to lay a glove on.
It's pretty good.
It's really, he doesn't get a hit.
It's pretty good. So here's what I think. I think DeSantis goes in as the underdog.
Yeah.
And anything on the upside
is a win.
Is a win.
Because he's fighting.
And if he can be funny, as you're describing him now.
He had chops.
Yeah.
But he's going up against Pernell Sweet P. Whitaker.
It is
going
to be like the, it's going to, they're going to fight so hard on policy, right? So I feel that this can be a very dry confrontation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I think between the two of these men, they can make it very interesting.
100%.
And spicy. Both of them have records.
Mm-hmm.
Significant records they can talk about.
Yep. No two ways about it. Bill Hemmer is in the studio. We're sizing up the November 30th debate hosted by Sean Hannity, who I got to say, really since I've started doing his show every Thursday, and I really put that guy on the map. I think it's what you hear a lot in the green rooms at Fox. They say, thank God for that
failure
guy.
Well, I mean, it's not just the green room. It's the hallways all over this place. And you know how big the building is.
Do you want to know?
A lot of folks who work here, so, you know, they're not always just text messaging each other. They're actually voicing.
It's voicing out loud,
audibly, their support for
It's crazy.
Jimmy Wildman Failor.
The guy who does the windows. I heard him on his platform lowering himself. He was apparently in a cell phone conversation. Thank God for the failure guy. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's about time. Hannity put himself on the map. I laugh. But you know what Sean has been doing, and he deserves a shout-out for this, and I've continuously given them one, is we do his live audience show on Thursday, and he allows me, when we're done on the air, I work out my stand-up act for his audience. Because they're phenomenal.
Is that right?
Yeah, they're in town.
They
get a bonus hour of coverage, and he'll sit there and, like, American Idol my act. He'll be Simon Cowell.
Is that right?
Give you a yes,
give you a no. Is that during the four-minute commercial break?
No, at the end of the show.
And Sean hangs around to listen to
it? Yeah, he hangs out.
Come on.
How long material?
What do you do, 10 minutes?
Yeah, 15, 20.
He throws
a few footballs. We sign him. It's great.
That's wonderful.
No, it's great. It's funny because, like, most of your stand-up material you work out in clubs in front of drunk people. I actually probably consider that better than what we're doing.
I agree.
I'm actually working it out in front of people that are diving to catch a Nerf football.
Correct. And like, they're sober, too. Does Sean realize that, you know, he needs to give you a little bit of credit for
he's great.
Putting him on the map?
I think he knows. I think it's understood. I think it's understood at this point. But it goes without saying. I kid. But I do owe him a producer's credit for this special because at least 20 minutes of my act have been developed on his audience.
And what's the date on that?
That's October 13th. Friday night.
Huntington, New York.
Yes, the Paramount. Friday night, October the 13th, Hammer. It's going to be a banger, is all I'll say.
When do I need to confirm?
You're on the guest list. You let me know that week.
I got the invite.
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm saying. So you could work it out. Bill Hammer, you can work it out day of.
Slip in the back?
Yeah, yeah. If you're coming, let me know. I'll give security a heads up.
Because the joint's going to be jumping.
It's nuts.
And it's going to be packed.
It's packed.
And if you don't RSVP, you're going to be locked out.
No,
that's a true story.
That's a true story. And we're up against a hard out, a commercial break. Hammer, we'll always have this.
Peace, bro.
This is Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
There it is. Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla. Shout out to the great Bill Hammer. Always a blast to talk politics with a guy who is upfront with all of these candidates on a substantive level. You know, they come on my show. Forget, you know. What was the best Rocky movie, bro? If Rambo, Rain Man, and The Flash were going out the Pizza Hut, you know, I'm giving you the person behind the politics. But it's interesting when you really do delve into the substance of what's going on in Washington right now because it is such a food fight. And we're going to get into it in the next hour. General Caldwell is coming by to weigh in on crime and non-punishment. Remember crime? We don't do that anymore. Crime, it's now crime and non-punishment. No one's going to jail. Stores are getting looted. We've really just inverted the basic premise of childhood. Remember, you used to play cops and robbers. Cops are the good guys. Robbers were the bad guys. They've kind of inverted that now. I think the kids could fix this country.
Live from everywhere USA, it's Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
Oh, yes, it sure is. On a wild Monday episode of the show, Giano Colwell stopping by in this hour. My man Joe Mackey, a writer on Gutfeld, he will be joining us in hour number three along with comedian Ken Krantz to try to restore order into this country. 888-788-9910. If you want your voice heard in this audio safe space for cool people where we say every day, you don't have to agree with us. You just have to be in on the joke.
We're not going to sit here and listen to you bad mouth the United States of America.
That is all. Okay, if you live here, you hit the lottery. Is it a mess right now? Absolutely. Okay. This is a country that really is in need of a leadership change, okay? The people running this country have no idea what they're doing.
I'm Kamala Harris, and I approve this message.
Okay, it's one of the reasons why you're seeing as many Gavin Newsom media avails as you are. The guy keeps saying, oh, I'm not running. I don't want to run in 2024.
You're a liar.
He's like, he's so committed to not running, he has just scheduled a primetime debate against Ron DeSantis to be moderated by Sean Hannity. You know, that's how convinced he is and convinced he wants you to be that he's not running. Because, you know, when you're not running, what you do is you go out, you schedule a primetime debate so you can make the case for your presidency, for your governorship. Okay. He's out there doing this for two reasons. One, he has seen the polling on Biden. There's a Monmouth poll out right now. Right now, today, that is two-thirds of the country saying he's not mentally fit to keep doing this.
Biden's lost his marbles.
Now, in theory, okay, if he had a strong vice president, he'd already be gone. But the reason he's not already gone is because he's got a vice president that's polling behind him.
Kamala's awful with her weird laugh. Ha ha!
Just understand, and I'll give you some of this, okay? If you have a president who is out there talking about dead people, shaking hands with invisible people, okay, you replace him immediately. You go, this is a bad look for the country. We can't have this go on. But in this instance, okay, that would mean he steps aside and Kamala takes the helm.
She is a fraud, a phony, a woman without a moral core, a regular two-faced, mealy-mouthed politician who swings with the wind.
Which is why they haven't moved on Biden. That's why you're not hearing talk of a 25th Amendment. But what's noteworthy is when they start talking about, well, he might be too old to run. He might need to step aside. The one thing none of those people suggest in the next sentence is putting Kamala in there instead.
That is correct.
Okay, because she is just spectacularly incompetent. But when you look out at the state of the country, okay, if Bill Maher, this is like half clownery. Bill Maher says Biden's too old. Okay, he should step aside. Okay, he looks like his skeletal remains. Okay, but he still doesn't say in the next breath, bring on Kamala. Listen to Bill Maher, clip 35.
At some point, perception becomes reality. What matters is voters think Biden's too old. What matters is he's going to lose to Trump, who's almost the same age, but his age just doesn't read like Biden's. Maybe it's because Trump is insane. Maybe it's because he's always a ball of white-hot anger. But for whatever reason, he looks robust, and Joe looks like his own skeletal remains.
Oh, ouch.
That man belongs in a nursing home, not in the White House.
That's essentially what Bill Maher is saying. But you know what he didn't go on to say? He didn't go on to say, so let's call up Kamala.
That's true. That is true.
Okay, it's fascinating. When he says, ah, oh, Trump looks like a ball of white hanger, the reason why is they, you know, they are politically persecuting Donald Trump. Like, there can be no mistake. I don't care if you like him, hate him, or anything in between. I'm just a talk show host. My job here is not to steer your opinion one way or the other. It's to share mine. And in my opinion, they are politically persecuting this man. Right now, he's in court on charges that he inflated the value of his assets, with someone ruling that Mar-a-Lago is worth $18 million, which I got to be honest with you, is complete and total bull. The house next to Mar-a-Lago sold for $53 million. Mar-a-Lago has been valued in the past at $300 million. It's on the National Place of Historic Registry. But the point is, Trump is on civil trial today. He's indicted 91 other times. In terms of, you know, January 6th, handling classified documents, but things nobody is sitting up at night worried about, Trump is being prosecuted for. Now, it doesn't mean his behavior was perfect, but it does mean we've somehow gone from, we've never indicted a president in the 247-year history of this country, to we've now indicted a president 91 times.
It's people with a dirty mind that think like that.
Okay, no rational observer can say to you, there isn't something askew here, and that's the truth. They manufactured so much hysteria around Donald Trump that it's allowed them to justify, at least in their minds, at least in the minds of the hardcore partisans, it's allowed them to justify breaking each and every norm. You understand? Well, Trump, he's going to spread so much disinformation. If he gets president, so much disinformation that we need to get out there and spread disinformation about him colluding with Russia just so we can get rid of him.
I'm Hillary Clinton, and I approve this message.
That's what they did. Now, Trump, he's going to undermine the institution so much that we need to get out there and undermine the institutions first. Let's get every member of the intel community out there to say Russian stole the election. Because he's going to undermine faith in our election so much that the only way to head him off is to get out there and undermine faith in our elections. That's what they did. They spent the entire 2016 cycle telling you he stole the thing, knowing full well that they had made up the story.
I'm sick and tired of all this bullshit.
For whatever you think of Ron DeSantis, whether or not he's going to get off the mat and win this nomination, okay, polling doesn't indicate that he will. Okay, DeSantis stood his ground when he was on with Bill Maher over the weekend. Okay, here is Bill Maher trying to hit DeSantis on election deniers. Ooh, spooky. Clip 31.
But you campaigned for election deniers in 2022. This I do not forgive.
Well,
to quote The Godfather, I mean, Carrie Lake, who said Biden's an illegitimate president, Trump didn't.
Well, now she's attacking me, so maybe I did make a mistake there, because she's out there saying she's trying to say that we mandated vax in Florida when we did the opposite. We protected people even from private mandates. So that may have been.
But Trump lost the election, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so why did you campaign for people who?
Because I wanted to see Republicans win key races.
Oh, and then he goes on to say, you know, can we grab the Maher clip where he goes on to say, you know, you and all your Hollywood buddies cut one commercial after another asking the Electoral College to vote against the will of the people and upend the 2016 electoral vote count, which they did do. That's the point I'm trying to make. And, you know, understand that when DeSantis gets out there and stands his ground in a position like that, he's not necessarily standing up for Trump because he's running against the guy. He's standing up for the truth. You see, Democrat, here it is right here. Sorry about that, Josh.
That's not a deal breaker issue for you? That's not democracy?
Well, let's go back to 2016. Your friends in Hollywood were cutting ads telling the Electoral College to vote against Trump in the Electoral College because it was stolen. They said Russia stole the election. For years they said that. So don't act like this is like a unique thing in modern history of the country.
First of all, Ron, I have no friends in Hollywood.
But you want to know something? Bill Maher was one of the people who spent 4 years saying Russia stole it.
Bingo, man, bingo.
Bill Maher has pivoted back towards the center because he knows the modern left has become an absurdity, and he doesn't want it to be pinned to him. Okay, he's a survivor. He's been in Hollywood a long time, quite successfully, and he's a great political comedian. He is. Whether you agree with him or not, he's great at what he does. He's phenomenal at what he does. He really is. Okay, but he has opportunistically distanced himself from a lot of the positions he previously held, whether we're talking about the vaccine, whether we're talking about the 2016 election, because he knows they look ridiculous to objective observers. Okay, DeSantis called him out on one of his older positions. Okay, and got an applause break from Bill Maher's very audience. But understand, Bill Maher's audience applauded every Friday night for 3 years over the idea that Russia stole the election.
He's a lousy dad, but he's right.
But they've essentially, again, taken the approach that, well, of course we lied about Trump. And of course we're now trying to prosecute him for saying an election was stolen, even though we said it was stolen. Don't you guys understand? This guy is so dangerous, he's going to break so many rules that the only way to head him off is to break them first.
Democrats are so full of crap.
That's the truth. They manufactured a hysteria around Trump in an effort to get rid of the guy. And in doing so, they think it is justified. Like, you know how they want to declare a COVID emergency because that allows them to take away your rights? Declare a climate emergency that allows them to take away your rights. That's essentially what they've done. They've declared a Trump emergency that allows them to take away his rights. That's why he's in court right now. This is the speech he gave before he went into the courtroom this morning. Clip one.
This is a continuation of the single greatest witch hunt of all time. We have a rogue judge who rules that properties are worth a tiny fraction, 1/100. Tiny fraction of what they actually are. We have a racist attorney general who's a horror show who ran on the basis that she was going to get Trump before she even knew anything about me. She used this to run for governor. She failed in her attempt to run for governor. She had virtually no polling. She came back and she said, well, now I'll go back to get Trump again. And this is what we have. It's a scam. It's a sham.
He's not wrong. Okay, you got an attorney general, Letitia James, that ran on prosecuting Trump. If you elect me, I'll prosecute Donald Trump. Does that sound like justice is blind?
The answer would be no.
No, it's why he keeps going up in the polls every single time they indict him. People see through the charade now. Okay, they understand that these people are the ones breaking the rules and undermining faith in our democracy. Okay, you might not like the fact that Trump's out there yelling that the election is stolen. Believe me, if he had concrete proof it was stolen, he should be turning it over instead of just yelling it was stolen. I get what he's really saying is there's no way he could trust these people, and he'd be stupid if he could, given that nothing has been beneath them when it comes to stopping him. Okay, that's where we find ourselves right now. Okay, you got Biden, who's now being fit with special shoes to teach him how to walk. Okay, he can't be president. Bill Maher's flat out admitting it. But the one thing nobody is talking about, okay, when it comes to replacing Joe Biden is Kamala Harris. Okay, if it comes to that, they're just going to keep indicting Trump. Okay, that's where this is going to go. Okay, it's either going to be Biden or Newsom, or they're going to keep Biden on the ticket and they're going to indict Trump 400 more times as a means of tying him up so Biden doesn't have to do as much campaigning. You know how they had the COVID variant in 2020 that allowed Biden to stay home and the surrogates to make the case on TV? This time around, they're counting on the courtroom variant. Biden can stay home. Everybody else can run on TV and be like, oh, Trump's a criminal. Look at this. But the one thing nobody will be doing on TV is making the case for Kamala to replace Biden. Harold's down in Raleigh. He's been following this. Harold.
How you doing, Mr. Fallon? Thank you for taking my call.
Of course, Harold. Come on.
Two things. Number one, I think DeSantis is a cream puff because if he had any kind of you know what, mm-hmm. I would have kept sending planes to Martha Vineyard every day. Every day.
Love it.
Not one time, every day. Mm-hmm. But getting back to what you were speaking about a few minutes ago, where is the Black Caucus, all the race baiters, Al Sharpton, where all these clowns at when they're clearly overlooking protocol and the vice president, who I don't agree with, and I think she's useless, but protocol is she should be up next.
Yep.
I don't hear anybody discussing that.
But that's how bad she is. The race pimps don't even want to pimp. Like, you know what? No, they don't even. I mean, what does that tell you about Kamala?
Well, one thing, anything else, if it was anybody else, institutional racism, mm-hmm. Slave, you name it, they're yep. bringing they bring it out of the woodwork. And the bottom line is she's an idiot.
Yep.
And believe me, she is. But the bottom line is she should be up next.
Yeah.
And they're not even they won't even discuss her being up next. Which is a slap. And she's real quiet about it, too, because she's been giving her marching orders.
Yep.
Keep quiet. We'll yep. find you a job and call it a day. And before you let me go, sir, mm-hmm. I could straighten out the border.
Give it to me.
One day.
Give it to me.
One day. We'll give it to you.
Yeah. What do you do?
No, big sign on the southern border. You enter, you're getting locked up and deported.
Mm-hmm. That works.
Nothing free. There's no there's no EBT cards, no Metro cards, no hotels, no cell phones, nothing. You get nothing. If you come across the border illegally, you're getting sent back. I'm leaving the country this Saturday. Mm-hmm. Guess what I have to have to get in and out of the country, Mr. Fallon? I got to have a passport. And I'm an American citizen, so if I get to immigration in Miami, I'm seeking asylum. Really? They have lowered the stamp. They have basically whored out my citizenship.
Yeah, they have.
And it's something that you should be. I thank God every day I was born and raised in the greatest country on this planet.
Yep. Well, hurry back to it. Where are you going? Anywhere good?
Grand Cayman, Bimini, and Cozumel. Just a little short trip.
Yeah.
Just a little short trip. But the bottom line is, mm-hmm. you don't have any paperwork. You can't even get on the boat.
No, you're 100% spot on. But you know what? Call in when you get back, because I know while you're there, your speech is going to be a little slurred.
You got it, sir. Take care. Thanks again.
My man, Harold. Be well. There he goes. There we go back after this.
The show that's standing up to big tech.
Get those nerds!
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 You're listening to Fox Across America.
It is Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla. We're going to be talking with Giano Caldwell in the next break, a political analyst who, like myself, has been analyzing the crime and lack of punishment in major cities across the country. If you saw any of the looting footage last week in Philadelphia, the woman by the name of Meatball, I was analyzing her on Waters World last Friday night. She essentially went out and streamed a riot, hooting and hollering, ultimately got arrested. Here she is, clip 34.
Everybody must eat. Everybody must eat. Everybody must eat. Everybody must eat. Yes. Everybody must eat. Everybody must eat. Everybody must eat. Everybody must eat. That's what I'm talking about. Russell, Eddie. Russell, Eddie. Uh-oh, look, here come more people. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go.
So it's a woman who's, you know, streaming her rioting as they're looting an iPhone store, ultimately gets arrested, goes on TV, say she's being politically persecuted, starts selling her own merchandise of her mugshot. Now her lawyer's out there saying the whole thing is racist. You know, time was you could loot a store, sell a picture of your mugshot, go viral, and we'd let you get away with it. I mean, what's so different about this person? We are living in the death of shame, where people don't know shame anymore. It's so embarrassing to watch a country go through this phase. It is Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla. Race for the White House, now well underway. Trump's actually down in court today. It's a very unconventional race this year. One guy's in court, the other guy's in a nursing home. There's a lot of people on the periphery, though, on either side of the aisle, jockeying to replace both of them. Joining us now is a guy with a good eye on all of that, and undoubtedly the ladies as well, out on the campaign trail. He is a Fox News political analyst and a damn good friend of the show. Giano Caldwell is back. Hey, man.
Thank you, my brother, for having me.
For sure, for sure, for sure. As a political analyst who is, you know, following this 2024 race, you have to admit a little bit of a food fight so far.
I mean, I guess it would depend on how you define food fight. It looks like Trump is eating all the food and people are looking for scraps, so not too much food to throw around.
Whoa.
I got to be honest, you know, when we see the court case in New York and any of these other cases, I think there's not one analyst you can bring on to your program that's going to tell you how the election of 2024 is going to go. It's just far too many variables, from Biden's age to his broken hip, if he has one. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's something you couldn't make a movie about because no one would believe it. It'd be too far-fetched.
Plus, you'd have to reshoot like three different endings because we really don't know where it's going to go.
They're, right, literally.
It's like, remember those Choose Your Own Adventure books? It's like, turn to page 82 and, you know, you drive this way. It's
no, I don't remember that.
I don't even know, Giano. I don't even know, but it's crazy. Listen, always good to hear your voice on the show. And I do think you have correctly assessed the situation. That being said, okay, so yeah, Trump is in court and that's one end of it. We've got the Biden thing in the other. Are you not fascinated by the fact that Gavin Newsom is going so far out of his way to prove he's not running that he's now debating DeSantis and soliciting donations?
And then he tried to flip it around. He had an interview and he was like, you should ask yourself the question, why is DeSantis going to debate me? I'm not running for president.
Well,
it's just pretty hilarious at this point. And it's also hilarious how the Biden administration has fully embraced him. I guess, you know, the guy who really wants to run for president saying nice things about you is better than having Democrats not say anything about you.
Yeah.
The negative stuff we're hearing from their side now. And, you know, they spent the beginning of the term gaslighting us. Actually, before, when the 2020 election was going on, gaslighting us on how great Biden was going to be and how he was going to help the country and turn things around and return us to normalcy, and it's been anything but that. I mean, you think about the baby, whether it's the baby milk shortage, mm-hmm. inflation in general, food prices are damn too high. You know, remember the rent was too damn high, now it's food prices are too damn high. I mean, this is where we are in this country, Jimmy. It's not even funny. But it's interesting that people, the same people who demonized Republicans the last time around about the election and who was going to be the right candidate, those people are quiet when their candidate son is potentially going to jail. This is just really insane where we are.
I mean, it is. We're talking to Gianna Caldwell, Fox News political analyst. I've never been, you know, in something like this one. Okay, like 2016 was nuts and 2020 was nuts because we had COVID flying around. But right now we have everyone flying around. I mean, you said earlier Trump's eating all the food. Is that why Christie's in such a bad mood?
I'm sure everyone is listening laughed very hard when you said that. Well, yep. Christie continues to entertain us for his possible broadcast television TV contract. I mean, I can't imagine why else he would be running, knowing that you don't have a shot at a cabinet post. You're not going to be president, so why you continue to do this outside of what he says, a maximum pressure campaign, and tell everybody about Donald Trump. Well, folks know about Donald Trump. They've made up their mind about him, whether they hate him or they love him. So at this point, you know, folks are ready for their next book deal, and that's probably one of the things Christie is looking to do.
Wow. You know, there's definitely got to be, like, a motivating factor here. Like, you know, because there's so many people running. Remember the ice bucket challenge like 5 years ago?
Yes.
That's what running for president is now. It's like this summer's ice bucket challenge. Everybody's got to run and dare somebody else to run. But I don't understand because, you know, Trump is up by about 50, Gianna. Like it's a big number, dude.
Yeah.
You know, if this was like a basketball game, they'd be emptying the bench right now. You'd be seeing
right.
other guys.
No need to stick around.
Yeah. So, and, you know, the truth is you hear, well, you know, he's got all this legal stuff going on. But absent him physically being locked in a jail cell, I don't think anything legal matters. Like, does it affect his polls? I haven't seen it.
No, it doesn't. But they could literally put him in jail.
I know.
You know, some of these cases, you think about Atlanta, mm-hmm. New York. I mean, there's a lot of things that could go wrong here. And you keep in mind, we both have two very older gentlemen. I'm talking about Donald Trump and Joe Biden. So health-wise, anything can happen also. So these guys who are running, say like Ron DeSantis, Nikki mm-hmm. Haley, mm-hmm. Folks who actually have a chance of winning a primary absent Trump being in it. Mm-hmm. I mean, these folks should still, in some cases, still be running for president because they want to be the heir apparent in case anything does happen.
Okay. So it's like they're an alternate. In the Tour de France, they
exactly
have alternates.
Right.
They have got, yeah.
Exactly
you right. You put on the spandex and ride along with the team in case somebody crashes in the woods. You get to jump in there.
I mean, you're going to ride the bitch until.
Yep. Do the people of Florida, and I know you do extensive research at the happy hours and champagne rooms of Florida, do the at the town hall, at the voter outreach that you do, are people still supportive and passionate about DeSantis, or do they think this is a fool's errand?
Well, I'm going to be honest. I know I can tell and sense that a lot of people have changed their tune on Ron DeSantis. Mm-hmm. You know, there was a lot of voters who were not supportive of him from jump, although, you know, here in Florida, people really loved him. But since his campaign seemingly has been stalling, if you will, mm-hmm. You can feel a sentiment in the state of Florida as well. I'm recognizing a lot of people are just simply saying that they're voting for Trump and he should have waited his turn. Ron DeSantis should have waited his turn. I think Bill Maher even said that too.
Yeah.
He said, look, what are you doing running for president? You could have waited until, you know, the end of the 2024 and went ahead and did your thing. Not 2024,
yeah,
but you know, the next term. You could have went ahead and did your thing. You're very young. But the truth of the matter is, if I was Ron DeSantis, I still would have ran.
Yep.
Because, again, anything could happen here.
Yeah, that's the part. We're talking to Gianna Caldwell, Fox News political analyst. Is he got into this race saying, wow, I just won re-election with overwhelming margins, like historic level of re-election. and the guy who's ahead of me in the race is probably going to jail, that's a pretty good calculus to get into the race. I think what nobody budgeted for was just how overzealous the prosecution of Trump wound up looking, and I think it rallied a lot of people to his cause. Like, I honestly, I think if the left would have went after Trump a little bit less, he would have had a harder time. But the fact that they've gone as hard as they have, a lot of people are like, wait a minute, like, this is crazy now. Like, they're going to indict him for not helping Kevin McAllister in Home Alone 2. Like, come on. He shouldn't have left that airport, Gianno. That's child neglect, is it not? We can't have this.
And to the point that you're making on how ridiculous it has been, that's what a lot of Americans are viewing. Too, when you're talking about a two-tier system of justice, how can you have your own son be in a position where you're giving him a plea deal that's such a sweetheart deal? It's like passing an eighth-grade note. It's like, man, this is cute, like, but it can't be real. And that's what we saw, how many Americans, including black ones and celebrities who actually been prosecuted for very similar things that Hunter Biden has done, and they say, wait, this shouldn't be this way. That's partly what I think is part of the reason why they went back to the drawing board on it, because of the response, not just from Republicans, but all Americans around Hunter Biden.
It's so fascinating because, like, when you think about Trump, okay, Trump is Trump. He says crazy stuff. He's been a public character for 30 years, okay, maybe 40 years, that he's, you know, he was a guy that always went on The View, you know, this guy went on Oprah. He had his own show on NBC. So he wasn't exactly like a fringe lunatic, but they treated him like one. You know what I'm saying? And it's like all they had to do to stop him politically was not go crazy. But there's no way that they don't look crazier than he does.
Yeah, it's out of control, very much so at this point. But I'm really not even concerned about the political implications anymore. Mm-hmm. Once you see the Washington Post poll showing that Donald Trump is really beating Joe Biden by 10 points in a poll in a general election matchup, mm-hmm. it's like, wow, they couldn't have been expecting this.
No.
And even though they've built him up as to be the person that they can lose to Joe Biden, it appears that is beginning to shift more as we speak. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I know news organizations, especially places like MSNBC and CNN, will do whatever they can to make things look even worse on behalf of Donald Trump. But at the end of the day, we do have a Democratic Party that is in crisis. You got RFK Jr., Robert Kennedy Jr., about to run as an independent, which will definitely shake things up in a general election and hurt Joe Biden. Yep. I mean, they're not in good shape whatsoever. So now it's throw everything up against the wall and see what sticks. And hopefully something sticks.
Well, they have thrown everything except Kamala. I don't see her getting thrown to you. So funny. Listen, man, I think she's going to be great on Dancing with the Stars when it's all over.
She's going to get a big post. her husband looks like he's quite light in his loafers, so it may work out for her.
Oh, Gianno. Listen, man, we always love having you on. It's good for morale. You know what I mean? Is everything else good?
Well, yeah. You know, last week I testified before Congress on violent crime, mm-hmm. talking about my brother Christian, who was murdered last year in Chicago on June 24th, speaking for families. And I got to tell you, thank God to Congressman Jim Jordan, Chairman Jordan, for bringing his committee to Chicago to highlight the inequities that are existing within our law enforcement, which has become certainly justice for the criminal, not criminal justice reform. Mm-hmm. And, you know, calling out people like Brandon Johnson and J.B. Pritzker, the governor of Illinois, for signing in laws like the Safety Act. And I believe what we had just recently last week was a very substantive conversation, which is going to lead to more hearings across the country and a number of these cities where violent crime is out of control. And I've been asked to continue on this journey with these guys, and I look forward to helping shepherd in some new policy, hopefully new laws that will supersede some of the ridiculousness we're seeing from progressive prosecutors across the country.
No, and I love it. So, and I should have texted you because I really did think you did a phenomenal job last week. And, you know, I felt bad because I was trying to talk Jordan out of having you. But he went through with it.
And will continue. So I encourage people to follow me on this journey on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. at Gianno Caldwell, G-I-A-N-N-O, Caldwell, C-A-L-D-W-E-L-L.
100%. Great stuff, my man. Let's do it again soon.
Thank you, brother. Talk soon.
You're the best, Ray. See you go. There he goes, the great Gianno Caldwell. There we go back after this.
Don't go anywhere. Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla. We'll be right back.
We are all over the map today on a messy episode of Fox Across America. Kevin's down in Hampton Roads, Virginia. He's following the Trump case. Yo, Kevin.
Hey, Jimmy. Hey. Yeah, I kind of have a unique perspective on what's going on there. I've been a builder myself, and my current house I've had appraised 7 times, which kind of brings me to this point. If the banks who lent Trump the money, which they're alleging was fraud because he overestimated values, if they actually cared about those values, they would have forced him to do an appraisal, right? So it's really on them. These bankers aren't stupid. They're lending money at that level. They deal with properties that big. Mm-hmm. They asked for no appraisal. That means they don't really care.
Yeah.
If they cared, they would have pinned him down on it, number one. Number two, goodwill is a factor here. In accounting, when I was a student at the University of Iowa, we learned about goodwill. When you value a business, goodwill is basically its reputation.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what do you think the reputation is in terms of property value for a former president, one of only 49 people in 230 years to hold that position?
Yeah.
It's really a number that's hard to put your finger on, but it would increase the value above normal.
Yep.
I mean, one way two ways they value properties: one, fair market value, and two, the cost to build. I think the Democrats want to talk about just the value of the structure itself and forget about the fact that it's a lucrative business with enormous goodwill because of the stature of the person who owns it. So I think what's happening here – well, one other quick point before I end my comment is the residents in Trump Tower, I was looking at the articles about that. They say – Trump's critics, it's worth it's 11,000 square feet.
Mm-hmm.
Trump says it's 33,000 square feet. But if you read the fine print, his critics are subtracting the hallways, the elevators, and the mechanical.
Oh, goodness.
So they're really conceding it's 33,000 square feet. They just don't want to count those parts of it.
Yeah. Listen, the whole thing is a racket because this was not the banks saying, hey, we got ripped off here. You know, or they could have on the front end, as you said, demanded appraisals that they didn't want. OK, but when you're dealing with an attorney general that runs for office on, hey, donate to me, I'll get this guy. You know, the whole case begins and ends with that because you've kind of discredited the notion that justice is blind and they're just following the facts here. You know, in this instance, they had a crime and now they just went looking for a suspect. You know, it's crazy, but.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I think the more I've watched this, the more it reads, you know, because at the end of the day, what the voters are going to decide is whose integrity do they believe in more, you know, Trump's or the Justice Department. And sadly, the Justice Department should never find themselves in a position where it's even remotely close. Like, if we're going to thrive as a country, their word should matter above all else. But we're not living in that world anymore. Isn't it kind of crazy?
Yes, and this case, I think, as a Trump supporter, kind of hurts me or wounds me the most. I mean, this judge has put Trump's businesses in receivership, canceled their licenses, and in 30 days, unless an appellate court stops them, they're going to start selling it.
Yeah,
they're going to liquidate this guy. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's why Trump showed up. But, like, why did Trump show up today?
Yeah.
This one, perhaps, is the most threatening of all the cases. I doubt they're going to throw him in jail.
Yeah, he won't because it's civil. He won't go to jail for this, but they could liquidate assets, which, again, how is that not a political persecution? You know?
I mean, no, exactly. And what I meant was the other cases, you know, that are criminal, I doubt they're going to throw him in jail. But in this particular case, I mean, bankrupt. They're going to try to bankrupt him, and he's got 30 days to get this through to the appellate court before they start selling stuff. That just scares the daylights out of me.
It's nuts. But listen, if you think he's in a desperate spot, imagine how they feel, because the people coming after him are more desperate than anybody. I mean, this is nuts. This is bananas, what we're watching here. But I think it's why there's so much support for him. You know, traditionally, this is the kind of thing that finishes you off politically. But, you know, sadly for the people who want to take him down, this feels a lot more like the beginning than it does the end. So I appreciate your analysis here. As the case progresses, you know, feel free to check back in with any insights. Okay, Kevin, we appreciate you, man.
Thanks a lot, Jimmy.
Great stuff. Kevin, senior ambassador to real estate deals, just won himself a position on the show. But he's not wrong, man. This trial in particular is the most financially damaging one out there. But it's because of people who aren't looking at justice. They're just looking at ruining a political opponent under any way they can come across doing it.
It's people with a dirty mind that think like that.
Live from everywhere USA, it's Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
Oh, yes, it is. We're fired up to bring you an embarrassment of radio riches. In this hour, Fox Across America with your radio buddy Jimmy Failla, reachable to you, the listener, at 888-788-9910. If you want to be a part of the shindig, it is also the phone number if you don't want to be a part of the shindig. We don't care. There is no barrier for admission on the program.
I don't care where you come from. I don't care what color you are. I don't care how smart you are. I don't care how dumb you are.
No, ma'am. We say it every day to the point of exhaustion. You could be a Republican. You could be a Democrat, Libertarian, Independent. We don't care. The only thing we ever ask on this show, just don't be a... Joining me now to kick off the hour is a man who's none of those things. Okay? None of those things. Okay? This is fascinating. We always promote my stand-up special. It's shooting Friday night, October the 13th at the Paramount on Long Island. You can get tickets on Ticketmaster, ParamountNY.com. But our next guest is shooting his own special. He's shooting his own album at the Stress Factory in New Brunswick. We have a lot of fans there. They'll be thrilled to hear this. It is December the 27th at the Stress Factory. The star of that taping in studio now, Ken Krantz, is here. Hey, man.
What's going on,
I mean,
Jimmy?
The crowd is bananas. I could barely hear you over them. It was God. No, but they're excited because they know you came in on, you said you took the train in?
I took the train in.
Now, is this where you're at emotionally? This is what I need to know. Because I would imagine the train is quicker as a former cab driver.
Yeah.
But there's also an emotional component to taking the train. Okay? And what I mean by that is, you know, I like driving in because I like having my own space. But I've got to be in the mood to drive it. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Because it's combat.
Yep.
So did that on in any way influence your decision?
Yes. Yeah, for sure. It's like the Mad Max element to come into the city.
Yeah.
So the Fox News building's within walking distance of Penn Station, so it's nice and easy.
Isn't it amazing, though, how you hit an age where there is so much strategy in everything you do here?
Everything.
Everything.
Yeah.
It's weird because you don't notice it when you're younger and you live in this area. When you were young, didn't you believe, as I naively did, that the rest of the country wished they were doing what we were doing?
Yes.
Yeah, I used to think that, right?
Just only up until pretty recently, I always thought, oh, everyone's got to be so chill, but they're looking at us like we're idiots.
Yeah. No, it's totally true. No one wants to live here. But I grew up of the mind, because I had never traveled, you know, that I was like, oh, no, we nailed it, bro. Like me and my 9 roommates chipping in for a studio apartment, we've got life figured out. It's those idiots in the affordable mansions that don't know what they're doing.
Yes. Well, I grew up in the suburbs, and my whole life I wanted to live in the city. I wanted to get a job and live in the city. My first job out of college, I went to work for John Hancock in the city.
Uh-huh.
I said, this is the start of the plan.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to get a foothold here. I'm going to find an apartment, and I'm going to live in the city. My first day on the job was September 10th, 2001.
Oh, way to get into town. Yeah. Uneventful week. Nothing big going on that.
So by the second day, I was like, I've got to get out of the city. I need to make a plan. I got to get to the suburbs.
Well, you had the Aaron Rodgers of professional careers in New York City.
Yeah.
You snapped your Achilles basically the second down. That is crazy, Ken Krantz. But no, I agree with you. And what's funny is, you know, I don't want to go off on a political tangent because I want to get back to pop culture really quick. But one of the reasons they'll never, or people will never let them or want them to oppose the electoral, to get rid of the Electoral College, is because if it comes down to the popular vote, the people who decide elections are the people who just want to live in the city.
Yeah.
The crazy people. L.A., New York. And L.A. is gorgeous. It's this with palm trees. But it really has turned into, it's so sad, but L.A. is like a human safari now. Like you drive around and you know, for all intents and purposes, could be feeding animals. It's sad.
Yeah.
It reminds me of, do you remember the Michael Jackson Thriller video?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, of course you do. Okay. Imagine, though, if the video took place during the day. They're just walking around. You're
there
in a
was
red light.
No budget. There really wasn't high budget.
Everybody gets to L.A. and they're like, we got to rent a convertible. And then you get to that first intersection. And you're like, hey, can we put the roof back on? This is not safe. I don't feel safe, Kenny Krantz. But let's talk about this really quick. The rock and roll, you know, you have a very big and established acumen in music. You host a music podcast. What's your music podcast called, so I get it right?
It's called I Love Rock and Roll.
I Love Rock and Roll. Kennedy's been on your podcast. She loved your podcast.
Kennedy's my favorite, and we've interviewed a lot of big names.
Uh-huh.
Kennedy's my favorite interview anybody ever
Is that true?
Us. Yeah, I'm not even, she's not here.
She
had such a cool, like, rock and roll Forrest Gump lifestyle.
Yes.
So when you interview someone in a band, you're getting the story of that band.
100%.
But she was at MTV and has 100 stories about 100 bands.
Yeah.
And that was my favorite interview I've ever done.
Well, it makes one of us. Hey, shots fired at the K-Train. Stop it. I'll be appearing on our podcast later. Before I go on Gutfeld tonight, I warm up. The sparring opponent tonight is Kennedy on the Kennedy Saves the World podcast. Ken Krantz is in studio. We're taking calls. We're talking about the state of rock and roll, because you don't know this. I'm breaking news on the show. But tight end of the Kansas City Chiefs is dating Taylor Swift.
I've not heard.
It's breaking news. It's my own personal information. I don't know where you'd find such a thing out. I mean, other than the blimp that's probably flying over the city right now that says Taylor loves Travis and everything in between. The fact you can't watch a down of football. The conductor probably asked you when they were taking your ticket on the train, are you a Swiftie?
I'm not even kidding. Walking here today, I passed by four blonde white ladies in Travis Kelce jerseys.
Is that a real thing?
I swear to God. just walking around. Did you see the price for the tickets to the game went up last night just because she was going to be in the box?
Isn't that crazy? And this is at a Jet game.
This is a Jets game with Zach Wilson.
Where you can normally charge them to get out. And the tickets to get in are going. I mean, it's insane. It's crazy. It's madness. But yes, this it's not often that pop culture and professional sports collide on this level. It doesn't traditionally last a hell of a long time. But for whatever this ride happens to be, I would think from a capitalistic standpoint, it's a home run for everybody. My only concern is, I was saying this on the Saturday night show, is if he dumps her, will the Swifties cancel the Chiefs mascot?
Funny you should say that. I was already reading an article today in Rolling Stone. Absolute garbage magazine. I have no idea why I still read it, but I do.
And I loved it growing up.
Yeah,
like
I loved it.
Loved
it. Oh, it was because when I was growing up, it was the epitome of everything cool.
Yeah, yeah.
Uh-huh. Now I read it and it just makes me furious.
It's funny.
But I just read this whole article about how now maybe the Swifties can get the Chiefs name.
Wow.
Change.
For real?
Yeah.
Oh, God, that's what they're going to do. The Swifties are going to come after the Braves, the Chicago Blackhawks. If she doesn't dump him, every one of those mascots is a goner. Because
yeah.
They can mobilize. It's whoever's screaming the loudest. That's kind of like how the world is run now. Like, when people wonder, like, why things are so broken, it's because everyone who serves an elected office is just an influencer now.
Yeah.
It's just a race for clicks, you know, and I think it's starting to bother a lot of people. Now, you personally are the biggest Trump fan I know, so this is delicate, because we have a caller on the line listening on WIBX who wants to weigh in on the Trump shenanigans. Ellen, are you up there, girlfriend?
I am.
I'm going to be in Utica with Kennedy November 11th.
Well, we've got our tickets.
Yeah, you do. Ellen, that's the spirit. We need to clone you, girlfriend. I kid.
You do, actually, but unfortunately, not everyone would be on board with that.
That sounds safe. Sal, I admire your honesty then. I wish Dolly the sheep would have been so upfront with the American people when they cloned her. You know, if we would have known what kind of trouble we were getting.
Another scientist who did it.
Do you really? Ellen, you're just dropping all kinds of names today. First, you hang out in Utica. Now you know the scientist who cloned Dolly. Well, you dropped the Trump name with my call screener. Where are you on this Trump thing?
First and foremost, I think the election is about America first, and Trump is only about Trump first. And, you know, the Trumpers are the ones that are going to ruin it for everyone. But, you know, if they're only about really 20% of the Republican Party,
It's interesting that you say
some
that.
Good people. His cabinet are running against him. Nikki Haley worked for him. Pompeo worked for him. Christie worked for him. All these people worked for him. Why are they running against him? Well, Probably because they were really the ones that were making the decisions, and he was just signing his name to it.
Well, yeah, he would call that disloyal that they're running against him, but it is just politics because everybody wants that gig.
He's just a TV personality, really. I mean, that's one of the reasons that got elected is because he was on, what is it, The Apprentice for how many seasons?
They had 15 seasons. That was my favorite.
Average American knew, I mean, if you asked them who's Trump, they could do it. Who was Reagan? They couldn't tell you.
Well,
you know,
that was my favorite thing about Trump running for president, though, is that when he ran and NBC was like, he's literally Hitler. I'm like, you still owe him money. He's on your network for 15.
And I do think the Justice Department is full of shit and they are totally targeting him. But I'm not going to vote for him because I think he's being hard done by.
So here's the question. Here's the question, because I've heard everything you said and a lot of it, you know, makes sense, I think, to a lot of our callers. He's got a 50-point lead in the polls. And where I think it's, you know, kind of misleading is, yes, he can get the nomination pretty easily. But the problem becomes in the general election. He's got to win the general election. And that's going to require him to win over a lot of independents and Democrats who feel the way you
he
do as a Republican. Well, I think that's the challenge. But my question is to you is, I'm going to propose three scenarios. I just want to know how you'd vote in them really quick. Trump, Biden, though. Would you vote for Trump over Biden?
Under the current circumstances, it'd probably be, I might have to drink a lot beforehand.
how about Trump Newsom, that 80s villain?
With Biden, I'd have to say yes.
Okay, Trump Newsom, that 80s villain. He's very good looking. A lot of hair gel.
Oh, God. Oh, God, see, these are terrible ones. Mm-hmm. I don't think Trump should be running.
No, I know.
I mean,
but it's like the Biden thing.
I don't care what the polls say.
Well, Trump,
I really
Trump
I
should
think
be...
the Republican Party should be putting good candidates. We could potentially have 16 years of a Republican in there if you got a good president and a good vice president.
Fair. Listen, you're not wrong, Ellen. I enjoy your analysis here, and we appreciate
it. I'm pushing Nikki Haley in upstate New York.
Oh, are you okay? Listen, she does great on my show. She's got a lot of personality. She would be the funniest thing that could ever happen in the history of politics is for the first female president to be Republican. Because they would lose their mind on the other side of this. Because they're not going to be breaking glass ceilings and telling little girls they could be anything they want to be.
You know the number of times I was told by Democrats, like, but you're a woman. You must vote for Hillary. I was like, I'm sorry. I'm not going to vote for evil.
Nope.
So, you know, I don't care what.
Well, there went your ticket to the next Clinton fundraiser, Ellen. I thought we were doing good here.
I kid.
Listen, I'm excited to hang out in Utica on the 11th. Get your game face on, girlfriend.
Absolutely. We're looking forward to it. The whole family.
Oh, I love this. This is a big deal. All right. Buckle up. I'll see you there. Kenny Krantz, a Republican voter, not crazy about Trump. This is the reality of the election if it was held tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
2/3 of Democrats say Biden shouldn't run. A big chunk of Republicans don't want Trump to run. But we're probably, if the election were held tomorrow, we'd be watching Trump run against Biden. Do you think, as a comic, as a rock and roll expert, we're just running on instinct now. Do you think a year from now that'll be the matchup Trump versus Biden? Because I don't. I think other people are going to get in there. I think Newsom's. First of all, Newsom's running.
Yeah,
he's debating DeSantis on Hannity for a guy who doesn't want to run. He's fundraising right now. He's like, I don't want to run. He's like, I'm so committed to not running. Here's a copy of the inaugural address I would give.
Well, that's what Biden was doing last time, right?
Yeah,
like, he wasn't going to run until he was
trying to lead from the front.
Listen, I hope to God it's not the matchup, but I just can't see what else it would be.
Oh.
Ellen
Ken.
The only thing we let 80-year-olds do in this country is like be a greeter at Walmart or run the, run everything.
Yeah. Well, no, and Biden would make a good Walmart greeter if you didn't mind getting welcome to Target.
Shaking hands with nobody. Listen, I'm not a Trump fan. I was okay with Biden. He bored me, which was fine. When I saw him shaking hands with nobody, I hit the panic button. I was like, listen, I'll still vote for him again over Trump, but this is crazy.
I always say that.
You gotta do better.
You have a like Biden, you have a president who looks like a guy you shouldn't buy weed from.
Okay, narc.
If you had a friend shaking hands with invisible people, he's like, you want to smoke my weed? You'd be like, no, what are you out of your mind? This guy's whatever he's on is way too strong. I'm not messing with it. More with Kenny Krantz when we come back on Fox Across America.
The show that sees through the bullshit.
My response is right, you know, and the stripper really likes you.
This is Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
It is Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla. If you're listening on WHBO down in Tampa, my guest in the studio right now will be in your hood. What is it, October 20th and 21st?
October 20th and 21st.
What is it called again? I don't want to screw this up.
It's Sunshine City Comedy Club.
Oh, the Sunshine City. The
Sunshine City Comedy Club,
which is pound for pound the best comedy club in Sunshine City. Kenny Krantz is in studio. If you're listening on HBO down there in Tampa, October 20th, 21st. If you are a little bit further away in Palm Beach, you'll see me there December the 16th. Me and you got Florida covered.
Yes.
Covered. We got covered. The whole state is blanketed.
Yeah.
Wall to wall, like we're campaigning. We have a good ground game in Florida. How about that? Kenny Krantz is in studio. We're having like a little bit of a State of the Union. We were talking about Trump with our last caller, 888-788-9910, if you want to get into this thing. As a comic, here's my complaint. Okay, everyone always says to us, wow, it's going to be so great to be a comic right now. There's so much material. I actually think it's the opposite. And this is why I say this. Because no joke has a shelf life anymore. Because there's always a new batch of news cycle material coming. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
When we started out, political comedians, there were like two of them that even mentioned politics in their act at all. And it was almost like a cushy gig. Because it was like, all right, well, Bill Clinton did his thing. George W. Bush talks funny. I'm good for the next 10 years. Yeah. Now it's kind of exhausting, is it not?
Yeah, it's and the thing is, it's like you said, there's no shelf life. Because now Trump's coming back and running again. I'm seeing all the same batch of Trump jokes that went out 5-6 years ago, you know, 2016 when he was running the first time.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just all feels recycled.
Well, this is the funny thing about politics. In a lot of ways, it's like doing current events. And you know, when you first started doing comedy, if like, let's say when I first started, right, I didn't understand that there had been comedians who had jokes from 8 years ago, like Michael Jackson would be a good example. Mm-hmm. OK, when Michael Jackson died, there were people on stage that night with like the most brilliant Michael Jackson material I'd ever heard. And I didn't realize they were doing comedy when he was on trial 10 years earlier.
Right.
So it's like sometimes the world gives you the gift of, hey, remember those jokes you threw out there? It's like fashion.
Yes.
They come back.
Yep.
Put on your fish tank pumps. It's in style again.
Yes. Yeah.
And you're noticing a little bit of that with Trump. Some people are being able to bring back old Trump stuff. But you've got to keep up. On the other side, there's Biden stuff. But that is very much what politics is. It's like you're doing topical humor. So the shelf life, it's fleeting. You know, that's the part that drives me crazy. Is you can't, like, if you write a good joke about dating, you can tell it in 20 years.
Right.
But a political joke doesn't have that shelf life anymore.
No.
So I think people who don't do comedy don't understand this is not a great time to be a comic. It's an exhausting time.
Yeah, and you hear it from them all the time.
Yes.
Oh, you're so lucky. I'm like, I'm not lucky. I'm waking up with anxiety every morning.
I should have been a comic. I should just be a person screaming on TikTok.
Yeah.
You'd be selling out theaters right now.
Oh, man.
Look at how mad this guy gets. Like, it's funny because Lincoln, my son, you know, he's curating a lot of content. And some of the things when someone's act is a gimmick, like someone is performatively angry. So it's funny the first time you watch him, like, this guy's going to have a stroke. Then you see the same set at 10 o'clock and you're like, oh, he's not mad. I get it.
Yeah.
I
he's like
is.
Even like yanking his tie the same way that he did the first. You're like, it's all contrived.
I'm watching my son follow and unfollow people in a double YouTube viewing. And it's because even kids see through some of the malarkey out there on these streets. Ken Krantz. Well, we have more malarkey coming, you guys. Joe Mackey, superstar writer for the Gutfeld Show, regular on the program, is going to be joining us to preview my appearance tonight and let Kenny and I know what type of insulting intro they're working on for me in the writer's room, because that's how the show works. It opens with them punching you in the nuts, Krantz, and then you got to go be funny. So put on your radio cup, more political talk with the boys after this. It is Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla. I should have announced this earlier in the show. But if you bet on Lincoln Failla and the Clark Rams this Saturday over Mineola, okay, final score in the game, 40-0 Clark Rams. Oh, girl, take off the apron. We are going out tonight, girlfriend. It was a rain-soaked win, but the Rams have now outscored their opponents 86-0. Their last two games. They beat my alma mater 2 weeks ago, the Division Dragons, 46-0. This week, they beat the Mineola Mustangs, 40-0. Two-game winning streak for the Rams. Joining us now in studio, a man who is undefeated in life. He has never lost. A superstar comedian, Superstar writer on Gutfeld, probably hard at work on whatever insulting intro I'm about to get dealt onto the air with tonight. Joe Mackey is here. What's up, Mackey?
Oh, not much. Undefeated. I guess that means I'm 0-0 at this point.
You're one of those
guys.
A
whole lot of ties.
We haven't lost a game yet.
Yeah.
It's going to be great. Well,
I've won all my sporting events because I had fun.
We're all winners here. Mackey, for everyone listening, on KKFT and KSUE out west. I announced that I will be at the Carson Nugget Saturday night, December 2nd. That is breaking news. They announced it at the end of the Landau show this Saturday. But long before you get Jimmy Fallon in town, you talk about peaking in comedy life. Joe Mackey can confirm you will be there October the 21st.
It's gonna be the best thing to happen to Carson City since...
Gluten-free meth?
Is there a such thing? That might be the best thing that happened to me. I'd be like the only guy that puts on weight on meth.
Joe Mackey's chunky. We're mixing friends. I got Mackey here. I got Ken Krantz here. But Mackey has confirmed. He is at the Carson Nugget October the 21st. Krantz, have you ever been to Reno?
I've been to Vegas. I never made it to Reno.
Okay. Well, let me stick with me because maybe you can both weigh in on this. One of my favorite movies of all time is Kingpin. You familiar with Kingpin?
Yes, yes.
It ends in Reno. The Reno yep. Open, they bowl at the bowling center. I consider that Bill Murray's greatest performance. Mackie, are you a Kingpin fan?
I thought the movie was great. I don't know if it's going to top Groundhog Day.
Okay,
for me,
fair.
But
fair.
Yeah, good movie.
Do you know that in Punxsutawney, where they filmed obviously Groundhog Day? Go ahead.
It's set in Punxsutawney. I think they filmed it in Indiana.
Yeah, but there is a hotel there because of Groundhog Day. That is a gazillion-dollar hotel, like year round. Like I wanted to go, and it's expensive because people want to show up and be a part of that action.
Brilliant.
Who knew? You know, some people follow the Grateful Dead around the country. There are people who follow groundhogs, apparently, Kenny Krantz. Did you know that?
I didn't, but that makes me, that gives me more comfort than knowing there were people that followed the dead around.
You're not the only weirdo.
Groundhog Day tourism. I mean, Pittsburgh,
it's booming. It's
the tour booming. Shirt just says Pittsburgh, the same date, but it's listed 30 times.
Primanti Brothers hasn't made that sandwich live since 98, bro. People lighting lighters. Oh, you stop it. If you're listening on WJAS, if you're listening on Beaver County Radio, you know we love you, especially my Uncle Sam, who's out there as well. But we're talking to Mackey. We're talking to Krantz about the State of the Union. Now, Mackey, you were a diehard football fan growing up. I know you have professional commitments now on the weekends that take you in other directions. But have you heard the breaking news that Taylor Swift is dating Travis Kelce?
I don't really follow it much anymore, football. Mm-hmm. Or Taylor Swift's dating life, but that infuriates me that, it seems like all the sports leagues are trying to make it entertaining for people who don't like the sports.
Yes, yes! It's a good point Mackey makes. It's like when you go to a ball game now, say you go to a baseball game.
Yeah.
There are 300 things to do there that don't involve watching the game.
There's mannequins racing dressed up like sausages or mascots dressed like sausages. Right? And then there's a water slide in center field. I'm like, I thought this was like a baseball game.
No, no, it's just the Six Flags now. You can get a pedicure. You can buy fruit. Isn't it amazing? Like the new Yankee Stadium, like my son loves it because he didn't go to the old one. The new Yankee Stadium is a shopping mall that happens to have a baseball field in the middle of it.
Yeah, and you're right. There's too many food choices. It was hot dogs, peanuts, and beer.
Oh, now
that's
forget it. Have you tried the foie gras nachos at Yankee Stadium? It's so pretentious now.
I'll say this though, as like an avid football fan, I do hate hearing every single just conversation about Taylor Swift during the game.
Yeah.
As just a dude who lives with two teenage girls in the house who are now like, hey, let's turn
they're
on
your daughters,
football.
Right? Yeah.
Hey.
My girlfriend's daughters.
Joining us now
mine.
From Ken Krantz is here. He'll be appearing at Epstein Island October 22nd and 23rd.
As somebody last night they were like, hey, let's watch football. Mm-hmm. And I didn't even want to watch. I'm like, I don't want to watch the Jets.
Well, that's the win for the the Jets didn't want to watch the Jets. They didn't watch the game film. That's the win for the NFL is they're getting all these new eyeballs. But as Bill Hemmer famously said on the show earlier in the program, Taylor Swift benefiting quite a bit too. Why? Because she has a big movie coming out in theaters. And now she gloms maybe some NFL love.
It's not just Taylor Swift. Ryan Reynolds probably called his publicist. Like, can you get me a seat in the press box next to Taylor Swift? I need some FaceTime here.
With the Swifties. Yes. I don't disagree. There's so much strategy to a relationship of this magnitude because so many people, publicists and stuff like that. Because this is funny. They were, after the game last night, I was just reading on Yahoo, they were spotted.
Oh my God.
Engaging in PDA.
I thought the same thing. Spotted.
For those
like
of you,
there's 40 cameras on them.
For those of you, I'm like, my liver is spotted. Okay. From all the drinking I've done on the road. Okay. When a celebrity is spotted, it means these are the carefully curated photos our publicist leaked to the media.
Yeah.
Has anyone ever been spotted? I mean, Mackie, you get spotted from time to time. People see you in the street, Joe Mackie.
From time to time at the pastry shop. But
how are you when you get stopped? Because people watch you on TV. Do you handle it well?
I think so. I'm just a pretty introverted guy, but it is awkward. But yeah, I'm pretty cool about it, but I don't tell people I'm going to the football game. And then
you don't announce it 5 days in advance.
Yeah, I don't want to be seen. But
why is everybody looking at me?
Yeah.
Now, when you get spotted, Krantz, and again, for TV, To Catch a Predator, fabulous show. Hey, you stay away from that school.
He's the only guy who's been on 2 episodes.
That's how you get spotted, by the way. Yeah, doing something bad.
He's doing something you shouldn't be doing. But in this day and age, is there anything that is truly bad? Like, I'll give you 2 examples, okay? One is the girl who stormed off the plane. You know, I'm telling you that mother is not real with the, you know, kind of made people think it was an alien thing. But in the aftermath, she's tried to like fashion herself as like an influencer, because I don't really think there is bad publicity. Is there bad publicity in this day and age? Either of you?
It doesn't feel that way.
Yeah.
If there is, it like lasts for a day and then you hit the reset button.
You kind of go the other way. Do you think that, Mackie?
Yeah. I mean, when I heard that she was in marketing, I said to myself immediately, we're not going to hear the end of this lady for a long time.
Yeah.
Like, she's going to be on Life on the D-List or whatever show that is the current thing about that, because, yeah, it's this big opportunity to get your name out. It really doesn't matter why.
But isn't it weird? Because we're all in comedy. And in, you know, on some level, we're ridiculous for a living. And obviously, we need to promote our shows and bring attention to what we do. But isn't it weird that we're sitting here as people who do that for a living bemoaning that this is what the world has become? Because I think we realize on some level, it has nothing to do with our business challenge. It's just not good for society that everyone wants to be an influencer.
It's not good for society. And the reasons that get you noticed in society aren't the same as get you noticed in comedy, because comedy, it's like a good writer with a good joke that's original. But like, we have our influencers in comedy. They're called hacks.
Yeah.
And usually eventually you hope that even though they're gonna kill with their sex joke that I've already heard 20 variations of, that eventually the industry is going to find out and be like, no, you don't get to advance.
Yeah,
this is your ceiling right here.
Your roadblock.
But on the internet, it's like you're already in a mansion by the time that happens.
Yeah, it doesn't get kids. You've already gotten out with the money. It's fascinating. You could, in this day and age, be the best joke writer in the world, but you'd never go as viral as you would if someone just threw a drink at you.
Yeah.
Or you threw it back. Like, that's what's weird.
You know what's aggravating? It's when I started comedy, I was told, just work on your writing. Get comfortable on stage, and if you write really great jokes, the cream will rise to the top. Mm-hmm. There are no shortcuts. Mm-hmm. And now that I'm 15 years in and I feel like, hey, maybe I've got the hang of this, turns out everyone gets a shortcut.
Yeah.
Like, you can just throw on a Chewbacca mask and get 8 million hits.
Well, listen, he did have to make it up the stairs of the Capitol on January 6th. Let's not act like that guy didn't fight the ground war, Krantz.
There's so many shortcuts now, though.
It's crazy. Yeah, the heckler video has become the shortcut of choice for so many comics. And it's like every comic has interactions with hecklers, and it's so easy to win because everyone's on your side. The wizard your back. It's usually a drunk idiot.
Yep.
It's easy to make a drunk idiot look stupid. They're doing it themselves. And then, but people who don't know that, who don't do comedy, are like, wow, he really handled that well.
Yo, whoa.
And whoa.
That's the thing. Joe Mackey's in studio, Ken Krantz as well. We're having a grown-up talk about the world. It's like, I tell people this all the time. When you're dealing with a heckler, like, you prepared that night to speak in front of 300 people. And 180 showed up. But you prepared for 300. No, I'm kidding. You prepared to speak in front of 300 people. They did not. So they have an outburst. But if you let them keep talking, yes, you're always, always, always going to win.
Mm-hmm.
But people don't know that. So that is, you're right. That's why it's misleading on the internet. And then people just kind of contextualize the exchange. And you look like the Terminator.
Yeah, I just don't want to get success because I said, you have a dumb shirt.
So why'd you say it to Krantz when you walked in? You said it. Are you just an evil person?
That wasn't a hot hot mic. You were not supposed to divulge that.
It's not on. I was told these mics were not live. No, it's funny. You're right about that, though. But it's crazy because I cover politics every day, as do you guys. It's weird to know now in this day and age, like, no one's running for president. You have to run for class president. And it's like, that's the knock on DeSantis. It's like, well, he's not doing Yo Mama jokes. They're like, I don't care that more people are moving to his state than any state in the country and that they have the best economy and the best educational system. He's toast. Okay. And he might be toast. Like, he's down 50 points. Because I think if you are an influencer in this day and age, it's actually like held against you in politics. But should it be that way, Joe Mackey?
Well, you know, I think for DeSantis in particular, he's the guy that's a counterpuncher.
Yeah.
When the media says something like, oh, you made this deal with Publix to give the vaccine, he's like, it's the largest supermarket. They've got all these pharmacies. It wouldn't make sense not to make a deal. Yeah. He handles that really well.
Oh, he's great. He's great at policy.
But, you know, sometimes
he needs to put out a rap video.
Right. Yeah. Sometimes counterpunchers aren't great at leading with the jab and waiting to throw that big right hand.
Well, now you know what you're talking about, Mackie. You're talking about the guy who can handle hecklers but doesn't have material.
That's a good point.
DeSantis is going to put out a crowd work special. Joe Mackey's in studio booking it for him. Ken Kranz, when you watch this stuff from afar, do you feel like in this day and age, like that's like almost like the reason entertainment doesn't rate as high as politics has become people's entertainment?
Yeah.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, it's like the upside down. It's like comedians are held to a higher standard for what they say than politicians
are. Think about this. Paul Rubens got ruined, the late, great Paul Rubens in the 90s, for fondling himself in a movie theater.
Yeah.
Okay? He was thrown off the air. Lauren Boebert fondled somebody else. Fine. Donations went up. So I think the standard has changed. That's what I think. I think that's what we're doing. I didn't want this to turn into like, hey, you kids get off my lawn, but we are there.
Why would you want kids on your lawn? Like, that's the whole problem. It's like kids on the lawn are running everything now. And they're like, hey, we deserve to be on your lawn and ruin it.
Yeah, you're like, check your privilege. At least you have a lawn. We don't have a lawn. Then they dox the old man and he gets thrown out of his house because the banks won't lend to him. The world is broken. It's broken, folks. And on that fine note, Joe Mackey, have you guys written me a terribly insulting intro for Gutfeld tonight?
Mine was not that terrible. Oh. I can't speak to the other comedians.
Okay. I don't want to disappoint, you know.
Okay.
I like the tough love. I think what makes shows successful is when we're not immune, you know, to the beatdown. I think that's helpful. I think we need more of that in comedy because tonight's the night. Late night shows come back. Colbert comes back. Fallon comes back. Seth Meyers still does his show, right?
He still does. And, you know, I don't bear any ill will against those other shows.
Of course.
I remember the last writer's strike, it seemed like a big deal that they were gone.
Yeah.
And this time I'd forgotten about it. It's just that the kind of the industry has moved on, notwithstanding the fault of any of the hosts, which some of them I don't think are doing a very good job.
Yeah.
They've alienated a lot of people. But it's a stage show world and then a world where there's a 4K TV at home.
So are you telling me that Colbert is not in danger of you stealing his vaccine dance and doing it on the road?
No. One, I'm a terrible dancer.
Oh, Mackie
and
playing
two,
possum.
It's just you. What, you pharmaceutical company shill? And yeah, I'm not going to play possum at all. That was disgusting. There was no punchline in that. It was just like, oh, look at me. I'm famous and I'm doing something.
And I'm doing a vaccine dance surrounded by scantily clad needles. Oh, Kranz. Doesn't it hurt, Kranz? Like when you grow up and, you know, we revered late night as little kids.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Just revered it. It was great. I actually just watched The Late Shift with Letterman and Leno again. I rewatched it.
Such a great
It actually holds up really well.
Yeah.
And I feel like this is where comics, not you guys, but this is where a lot of comics in that sphere are failing America, is that we were comics. We could have political views, but the reason nobody wanted them from us is that wasn't the specialty. They came to us because we could do this unique thing, which was called being funny. It's like there's a reason when you go to the strip club, the girl doesn't start with, but first a few words about the border. Maybe she has a great policy, but the establishment is called flash dancers, and we're not here for policy. So is it a stay in your lane moment for comedians, Ken Kranz?
I don't think anybody has lanes anymore. I wish it would get back to that. Like Joe was saying, he didn't even, I forgot these late night shows were even went off the air, were even on the
Pfizer
air.
Didn't. Like, we got to move some product, baby.
Yeah, and it's not about staying in your lane. It's just when he did that vaccine dance, there was no discernible punchline.
Yeah.
And that's to me where he gave the game away, because
it was a product
placement.
Like
he was trying to make a joke.
Yeah. It was just a straight up product placement. Yeah, yeah. Oh, sad. Well, you kids get off the lawn. Climate change is going to ruin it anyway, according to tonight's Colbert Open. Love you both. I'll be on Gutfeld later getting insulted by Joe Mackey. Back after this.
You're listening to the best dad on the radio.
Can't believe you forgot my birthday.
You're with Jimmy Failla on Fox Across America.
There it is. Bottom of the ninth, Fox Across America with your radio buddy, Jimmy Failla, about to become your TV buddy. Tonight at 10 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, I will be on Gutfeld with our lovable comedy dwarf, Greg Gutfeld. That's going to be a chippy one time. I'm in a raucous mood, Ken Krantz. Ken Krantz in the new studio. He joined us for the full hour, as they say.
Yeah, I had so much fun. Thanks, Jimmy.
Glad one of us did. Kid, I love you, Krantz. You know I do. Ken Krantz filming his special December the 27th at the Stress Factory. And if you're listening out west, we announced this at the top of the show. I'm heading back to the Carson Nugget December the 2nd, my favorite place. Dean and the gang were coming out to see all the KKFT listeners and the KSUE listeners. Joe Mackey going to be at the Carson Nugget before then, October 20th and 21st. But if you want to see me, like if you want to laugh, I'm kidding. Mackey's phenomenal. But if you want to see him, and he is phenomenal. If you guys have never seen his stand-up, it's very dark and funny like Ken's. Very dark and funny and fabulous. You will see me December the 2nd at the Carson Nugget. And if you're down in Florida, October the 20th and the 21st, Ken Krantz will be in the Sunshine City Comedy Club.
Sunshine City Comedy Club.
Boom. That is October the 20th and 21st. This show just turned into a human sandwich board. Did you notice that?
I did.
We were like analyzing the news and Taylor Swift and getting ahead in comedy, and it just turned into like, hey, can you buy some tickets? At the end of the day, we're just out here. We're no better than these politicians we're giving a hard time to. I kid. No, we're actually giving you a good time. And none of the proceeds of our shows will go to Ukraine so they can launder the money. I mean, it may go to a couple Ukrainian strippers. No promises there, you know, but they'll be working here in the United States. We'll be stimulating the local economy, will we not?
It's called the trickle-down effect. I've heard good things about it.
Hey, it's amazing. We didn't have time to get to it, but apparently you're getting divorced, you mentioned.
Well, we'll cover that next time.
Stunner! Sunu! The guy with all the strip club analogies was going to get divorced. No one saw this one coming. The show's over. Watch Gutfeld tonight. Either way, live your best life. We love you guys. We'll be back tomorrow. Be a Republican, be a Democrat. Just do not be a...
I'm Charles Payne. Listen to my Unstoppable Prosperity podcast so I can get you making money right now. Whether stocks are hitting new all-time highs or in freefall mode, opportunities abound. So why are so many potential investors still sitting on the sidelines? In a new season of my podcast, I'm going to get you in the game. After 38 years on Wall Street, I'm ready to impart some lessons and get you invested in the greatest wealth-generating machine in history. Listen anytime, everywhere at foxbusinesspodcast.com or wherever you listen to your favorite podcast.
Listen to the show ad-free on Fox News Podcast Plus, on Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music with your Prime membership, or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.